when man was lost in sin, no peace could be found. God proved his love to him when he sent his only son. Then he came to be that perfect living sacrifice. Jesus came through for all mankind on Calvary.
Greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor N.R. Davis of the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. I am the pastor of the Abiding Light Pentecostal Church over here on the west side of Manchester. We want to greet every one of you in the precious name of the Lord. Remind you that we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30 on this radio station. We want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in. And now we will go into the sanctuary of the abiding light. In 1 Chronicles 13 and 3, David is being ushered in king. This is his inauguration, if you will. It was a big deal. The Bible says that he gathered with all the leaders throughout the land. And they all had it within their minds to go after the ark of God. For 20 years, there was no ark, which is symbolic of the presence of God amongst God's people. It's a type. It's symbolic. It paints a picture that when the ark was in the camp, Israel had victory. When the ark was amongst them, the presence of God was amongst them. And for over 20 years, they didn't have the presence of God amongst them. How many want to live a Christian life without the presence of God with them? That's not a life without God's presence. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 13 in verse 1, and David consulted the captains of thousands and hundreds and every leader. He went amongst the leadership. And David said unto the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad to our brethren everywhere. Put out the word everywhere throughout the land of Israel. Also to the priests and Levites which are in the cities and the suburbs. Let everybody know that there is a new king. And I am going after the ark of God. And in 1 Chronicles 13 and 3, listen closely. And let us bring again the ark of our God to us. For we inquired not this ark in the days of Saul. We didn't care for the presence. Saul was a man that did not care about having the presence of God. Listen, it's important who you follow. If you're under a pastor or leadership that don't have any desire to see the presence of God move in the church, they don't desire to be led by the Spirit of God, they don't seek after or preach about the power of the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, that is a man you need to be cautiously aware. If he can't follow Christ and follow God's presence, I got to be careful following that man. The ark of God had been taken. They inquired not to seek after it. But in verse 4 of 1 Chronicles 13 and 4, and all the congregation said, all the people, notice, were in one mind and one accord, that they would do so, that this is the will of God. For the thing was right. David said, these are my plans. We're gathering 30,000 men, and that's not including all the ones that came. That lined up, I believe it was a 7-mile stretch where David was getting ready to usher the ark back into Jerusalem and back into the city of David. He went after the ark of God. He sought after the presence of God. Can I tell you, the Spirit of God, amen, will not fall in your lap in church. You've got to seek after the presence of the Spirit of God in your life. You will stay empty and dry, and you just hope you can get a little residue from somebody else that's maybe Holy Ghost filled next to you in church. That's not the design of God. It is for us to seek after Him. It is God's will for us to get into an atmosphere of worship. Put everything else aside and say, my priority when I go into the house of God is not to care what I'm wearing, not to care what my hair looks like, but it's to enter into His presence, enter into His gates with thanksgiving on our hearts, and enter into His courts with praise. Brothers and sisters, the presence of God must be your priority. In your life, you must desire that more than anything. It's our responsibility to bring the presence of God into this place. The ark is in you. The presence, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, however you want to identify Him, He is in you. Did you bring Him with you today? We aren't going to have a very spiritual service without somebody bringing the ark into the camp. We aren't going to feel the presence of God. It's nice that three or four get a little touch and they dance in the presence of the Lord and God ministers to them. But I believe it's the will of God that we all have a desire to go after that ark. I want your presence. I want your power. I want you to be in me so that when I go into the church, others can see, others will know that the presence of God is manifesting through my life, and then I can be a blessing to others around me because of the Christ within me. It's amazing how everything else in our generation is distracting us, and we're losing our focus on what really is important in the church. It's not about your light show you can put on. That's what many of the churches are looking to now, is their demonstration of what they can do in the natural realm. And if you look at many of our modern day churches, they spend millions within their budget to have stage lighting and the best equipment. And there's nothing wrong with the best musical equipment and sound equipment and all of these things that add to the natural. We want to have good quality things in the house of God. We want the best. But what is it if we have everything in the natural, but we don't have the presence? We don't have the glory. We don't have the presence of the ark in the camp. This has been my heart cry. Let us go after the ark of God. It is our responsibility to usher in the presence of the Holy Ghost in this church. You are responsible as a body. If this is your church, then you have a responsibility to come prayed up, to come with a heart that is fixed upon worshiping God, not just to go through a form of godliness, but God is wanting us to come in here with a pure heart of saying, God, I've got to have you. I've got to have your presence. Fill me with your glory. Fill me with your power and move amongst your people, that we can all be in one mind, in one accord, that the Spirit can be poured out upon the congregation and every believer within the church can be edified and exhorted, and the gifts of the Spirit can move amongst us to edify the body of Christ. This is your spiritual gas station. And by the looks of some of us, we're running on empty for a long time. I know life has been hard on you. I know you've been going through trials and tribulations and unforeseen circumstances. But can I tell you, we've all been there. And some of us are there right now. I'm not ashamed to tell you, I'm there right now, smack dab, in the middle of some of the hardest places that God's ever put me. But I've realized, as I seek God, as I seek His presence, as I make Him my priority, that nothing else matters, but I've got to have you. I've got to have you. I want to be like Moses and say, God, I don't want to go any further unless your presence is with us. And that is my desire for you, is that we have the presence of God in the church, that you can receive all that God has for you and your family. Brothers and sisters, this must be a priority in your life. Without the presence of God, you will be a Christian that lives a defeated life. Without the ark, Israel had no power. See, and most churches are content to just go on without the presence. They're content to just have enough talent and ability and good singers and good people that can play their instruments. And oh, we can move people in their emotions and in their feelings. But my God, that was never the design of God for us to be impressed. Amen. It was never man's ability or talent or education that can usher in the glory. It was only a people that hungered and thirsted and had a desire that I've got to have His presence. I've got to go after Him. I must have Him. There's one thing that we must desire more than anything in this world, and that is we must have the presence of our God in our lives. Let us bring again the ark of God to us. Somebody said, do it again, Lord. Comes a time where we've got to put family aside. We got to shut the cell phone off. We got to put the iPads up. Shut the television off. Put the card games aside. Put everything aside and realize I've got to have you. David said, I'm being ushered in, King. I'm going to gather 30,000 men. And oh, that's not including women and children and everybody else in the suburbs and villages and towns. Some scholars say there was upwards of probably 60,000 or more that stood on two sides of a road where they were going after the ark of God to bring back, amen, to its rightful place. For 20 years there was no presence. For 20 years there was no power. For 20 years Saul said, I'm just content to go through the motions. But I can tell you this right now, this preacher knows, and I've experienced the real, I've experienced the genuine. I know when God is in the camp. I know when the Holy Ghost is in the house. And we've gone too long here at the Abiding Light without the real power of the Holy Ghost moving on a level of, oh, you ain't hearing me. Some of you need the presence of God. You need the Holy Ghost. We need the glory of the Lord to come back to the sanctuary. God will let you have it. But can I tell you, there's more available to you. But you've got to go after it. Somebody say, go after it. I've got to go after it. Oh, I guarantee you, if someone said, I've got $10,000 hid in this room, and amen, I'm going to give each of you 5 minutes to look for it. Oh, one at a time. You would be tearing this place apart. You would be doing all you could to seek after that 10,000. Some of you would be fervently digging and moving with an expectation of, I got to get that in my account. I've got to have that money to pay my bills. That will help me out right now. Can I tell you what you need more than $10,000? You need to go after the presence of God. You need the Holy Ghost of God. Oh, we must seek after Him and Him alone, for He is all that we need. David was a man after God's own heart. God has said, I have found me a man. I've taken the kingdom from Saul. He didn't desire my presence. He just desired the outward appearance of looking kingly. He had the power. He had the authority over men to say, do this and do that. And that's all that some preachers and people want, is just to have position, just to put on a performance, just to say, look what I've got. I've got this authority to tell this man to do this and this. But I can tell you, David was a king that recognized that all what made the difference in his life was when he had that horn of oil poured upon his head, when all his other brothers were rejected and Samuel heard the Holy Ghost tell him, this is him. This is my chosen king. He don't look at the outward, but I know his heart. His heart is for my presence. His heart. It is to do my will. I feel the Holy Ghost trying to stir somebody up to let you know it was David when he had that oil poured upon him through the prophet Samuel. Oh, the Bible says, and the presence of the Lord was with David from that day forward.
David knew what it was like to carry the presence. He knew what it was like to stand before a Goliath and say, "You come to me with a sword and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. I've got the presence. I've got the power of my God. He was with me when I rescued the sheep and the bear. I took him out of the mouth of the lion." And it all happened because the presence of God was with David. Some of you need the presence. We're Pentecostal here. What does that mean? We believe in the full gospel. We believe in all of the power that transpired from heaven down to an upper room in Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, oh, they were praying, they were seeking, oh, for that promise. That promise was his presence. He said, "I go away, but there is one that I'm going to send to you. He is the comforter. He not only will be with you, but he shall abide in you." Hallelujah. You need to hear what I'm saying. Let me just tell you, Pentecostals are ones that believe that the presence of God abides in them. Are you listening? We need the presence of God. David desired the presence of God. He didn't care about his performance as long as his God was with him. Can I tell you, that's all that matters in the work of God and in the church, is that we have his presence. This is what identifies the people of God from every other people in the earth, is that the presence of our God dwells amongst his people. Is your desire like the heart of a David? How many will admit today, "I need more of his presence"? Amen. And if you can't raise your hand and acknowledge it, you surely need it. Hallelujah. Ah, and you say, "Well, you're preaching to me." Yes, I'm preaching right to you. Every one of you. I'm telling you, this preacher needs more of his presence. Your pastor needs more of the anointing. I need more of the glory of God. I'm not content with what I have right now. I realize that in these last days, perilous times shall come, and many are departing from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And you better watch yourself. If you don't have the presence of God, you are a target to be taken out by the seducing spirits of our day and time. You are no match, and I am no match, for the demonic powers that are being unleashed within this world and are even creeping in to many churches. You know what the presence of God reveals in a church? That which is fake. That which is not of God. It reveals the counterfeit. And let me tell you, when you've experienced the genuine presence of the Holy Ghost, you've been in the presence of the Shekinah glory of God, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that that is the real, that is the genuine. And that's what I need more than anything in my life. I need to go after the presence of God. Hallelujah. I'm challenging you. The heart of David was a heart in Psalm 27 and 4. You can see the heart of David. "One thing have I desired of the Lord." All that you have, there's one thing that's greater than everything that God has blessed you with and given you. There's one thing that I have desired. A desire comes from within. A desire is something that you hunger after. When you get hungry, you desire after a good meal. "I need some vegetables. I need some fruit. I need a big steak." Whatever it may be, there's a desire and a hunger, because there's something within you that needs to be satisfied. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." Somebody say, "Every day I want his presence. Every day I want to walk with him and talk with him." because we got a lot of part-time Christians in our day. We only walk with God when we feel like walking. But I'm telling you, David said, oh, hallelujah, to behold. I want to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. This was the priority of the king of Israel. He said, oh, before anything, let me gather 30,000 men and let all the people come into agreement. And they all were in one accord and said, this is it. This is a good idea. This is the will of God, that we go after the presence. We go after the ark, that we bring it back to where it belongs, which is in the midst of the people of God. What we lack in our churches today is spiritual women and men of God. Do you know that the Spirit of God can move amongst you? And you can almost be like Jacob and say, I didn't even know that God was doing anything. And by the looks of some folks, sometimes the Holy Ghost can move in the church, and all they do is have no understanding of what God is doing. God is a spirit. You can't see him, but you can feel him. It's like the wind outside. We don't see it. But oh, when it begins to blow, you can feel the presence. How many want the presence of God? I want your presence. And let me tell you what happened here. And many of you know the story. David went after the ark. They got the ark to bring it back into the camp. That ark signifies and is symbolic of the presence of God. Don't forget that. The Bible says they went in and got it on a new cart. And Ohio, which is one of the sons, and it was Uzzah. How many remember the story of Uzzah? Ohio was probably leading, Uzzah was probably behind, or somewhere on the side of the cart. There was two things that were broken by God's protocol of how the ark was to be handled. Number one, they were never supposed to transport the ark on a cart. The Philistines came up with that idea because it was convenient and easy. God had ordained that the ark be bared upon the shoulders of the priests who were sanctified and called specifically of God to bear that presence. Can I tell you where the presence of God is born upon the men of God that God has called? Not everybody can say, I carry that presence, that anointing, that power. It is those that God has chosen to bear the weight of the glory and the power and the presence of the Almighty God. It was the priests that had to be sanctified, chosen vessels. And there was rings that were put around that ark. They were rings that were overlaid with gold. And staves were put into that, and they were to be carried by those priests and by those men of God, the Levites. And brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, they were men that were holy. They were sanctified. Not anybody could just get up underneath that ark and carry it. Oh, that was a dangerous place to be. Matter of fact, Uzzah learned a hard lesson. They started bringing that ark up on that new cart, and they came to the threshing floor on that road back. And one of the oxes stumbled. I mean, we've got 30,000 men. We've got women and children lying in the streets. This was his inauguration as king. I'm going after the glory. I'm going after the presence. Everybody watching. And an ox stumbles with the ark. And the ark starts to slide and almost fall off the cart. And Uzzah. And I thought it was interesting. I want you to listen to me closely. Uzzah. I looked up what his name means. His name means a man of strength. Uzzah touched that ark and broke the protocol and the command of God that if you were not ordained, nobody can touch that ark. And the Bible says that God killed Uzzah right there. He killed him. My God. I mean, why would you kill Uzzah? He was just trying to do what most of us would do out of reaction. I mean, if a glass is falling, we try to grab it. Why would God kill such a good man, a man of strength? But as I begin to study and read and pray, yes, Uzzah knew better. But the whole purpose of God, I believe, and some may not agree with this, this is just my thoughts of what the Holy Ghost revealed to me. The reason God killed Uzzah was not because of altogether Uzzah. It was because of David. When we disobey God, men will die. David had the authority and the responsibility to check, how do we handle this presence? How do we handle this ark? How do we go get the glory and the ark back into the camp? There is a protocol. God said you get the Levites. You get the priests. You sanctify them. They prepare themselves, and they are the ordained men to take the staves that are in that ark, lay it up on their shoulders, and bear the presence of God. God was angry not only at Uzzah, but he's angry at David. And David was angry at God. See, anger doesn't always show itself. Anger is something we can hide from others. Anger can be tucked away deep down in our heart, where nobody else can see it, because we can put on a smile and say, how you doing, brother? Praise the Lord, brother. Everything's good. And inside you're full of anger. And many of us won't admit it, but at some point in our life, God has allowed something to happen. It is your anger that's buried deep down in your heart that will keep you angry at not only yourself and God, but everybody around you. You will find yourself being angry and critical with everything that everybody else is doing, but you can't even see your own self and your own error in your own life. I believe the Holy Ghost showed me there's many of you that have anger in some form or fashion. You're angry at others. You can see the speck in your brother's eye, but you've got a plank in your own eye, and you pass judgment. You constantly condemn. You constantly gossip. You constantly backbite. But oh, you're angry at God. And that's where all of it is deriving and coming from, is your own anger with God. And David was angry at God because he put a breach and killed Uzzah. If you've been 20 years without that ark, or you've been maybe even 2 months without it, or even the last week and you haven't felt the presence of God, it's not God's fault. There's an error in your life. There's something hindering. There's something that's hidden. There's something that God's not pleased with in your past. And we need to realize, oh, brothers and sisters, it is us that is standing in the way of God blessing us with his presence and filling us with the Holy Ghost. It is not God, it is us. That's why we've got to examine our hearts and say, search me, O Lord, and try me, O God, and see if there is any wicked way within me which would hinder me from being filled with your presence and receiving the power and the blessings that you have for me, O God. As we begin to close this radio broadcast, I want to remind you, we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30, bringing to you the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. I am the pastor of the Abiding Light Church over here on the west side of Manchester. My name is Pastor N.R. Davis, and we want to invite any of you that would like to come out and visit us. We're at 417 Granite Street in Manchester, New Hampshire, on the west side. We're a multicultural church preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we would like to invite you to come out and visit us. We start our Sunday services at 11 o'clock. And we also have our Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. And you can go to our website at theabidinglightchurch.com. And until next Saturday at 3 o'clock, this is Pastor N.R. Davis, and may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you.